Okay, hi, and welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I'm Charlie James.
I'm Jewel Karenin.
And we're your hosts.
And this podcast is all about exploring the incredible world-bending power of parasocial relationships.
We investigate our own parasocial relationships and interview the people we all have parasocial relationships with.
And today, our guest of parasocial honor is Sky Seymour.
We finally chat about K-pop idols.
And what happens when you don't live up to a fan's parasocial expectations.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
Charlie, what's up?
Hi, how are we?
Is everything okay or no?
The options. Being okay or no.
Or no.
Things are so okay.
Yeah, things are okay.
Yeah, July is going to be... Well, I guess you guys won't see this in July, but it is July right now.
They might.
My July is going to be amazing. My July is going to be so good.
Manifestation.
I downloaded some guided meditations.
Ooh.
I'm about to have a very chill July.
How many did you download?
I downloaded 3 to start, but there will be more.
Good. Give them a try. Listen, is it on the Calm app?
No, it's just on podcasts.
Oh, okay, good.
App pods, yeah.
Can I say something derogatory about the Calm app?
Yeah, please.
The owner of the Calm app, I forget what her name is, but she voices a lot of the meditations on there. I hate her voice.
This changes everything for me if I don't like their voice.
How could you even live?
Yeah.
I'm trying to meditate and she's vocal frying all over me.
Yeah, I know. I like a vocal fry.
Me too. I mean, we both have vocal fry.
Yeah. But still.
But her voice, man, like, I don't care if she listens to this. I want her to know.
That you don't like her voice.
It's also because she's the owner of the app. So I'm like, Nepo baby.
Yeah. How'd you get this job?
Exactly.
Oh, you started your own company? Okay.
Just so you could make your voice be on it. Anyways, there's lots of other good meditations on that app, though.
Just this one is all British people, and in the title of each episode that I found, they tell you whether it's a man or a woman.
What?
Because I think some people are like, I won't meditate to male voices, or I won't meditate to female voices.
Actually, that's fine. I agree.
Do you have a preference?
Well, I have a preference for my therapist, so why not have a preference for my meditation?
I have a male therapist, and I don't mind if he listens to this. We have a weird relationship. We do Zoom sessions, and he doesn't turn on his camera.
Charlie, this is crazy.
I have a phone call with this man every week. And our sessions are supposed to be 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. And after a half hour, he wraps them up. I might change therapists.
What?
The reason I don't want to change is that he is really good.
For 30 minutes.
I need a guy who's like calling me on my shit. Uh-huh. And is like, well, this is where your thinking makes no sense. Love being called out. He's so helpful. And I've never seen his face. Okay, another gripe. He will not let me have a repeating session every week. I have to schedule a new day and time every single week.
I'm sorry. The red flags are exponential.
It's astronomical. But he's so good and I like him. I've always had therapists who were like mother father figures.
Okay.
He is so older brother who's like, that's stupid. Why don't you just do this? And I'm like, oh, he's got a good point.
I can't believe how much stuff you just told me that I can't believe. How do you tell me new stuff I can't believe every week?
Every week. He's great. He's great.
Oh,
shout out. But
I'm sorry. But your camera is on? And his camera's off.
My first session, I had my camera on and I was like, this feels weird. And now I do camera off.
Thank God.
Yeah. Because okay. I just figured out, oh, we just don't want to, whatever. But
at least one normal thing is happening.
Yeah. He's so interesting. Anyways.
What?
Well, it's just, he's like, I feel like a lot of therapists are like, I struggled with this thing and then I went into that as a specialty. Like, a lot of them mm-hmm. actually relate to the issues they're talking about. He's an addiction therapist who, like, still drinks and has no addiction issues. And I'm always like, But he like gets it in a way where I'm like, that is so weird that after this tonight you can have a glass of wine. It weirds me out.
I need to really talk good. To him.
Yeah, you should come on one of our sessions.
I'll just listen.
You could. He'd never know.
I know.
I always think, I'm like, one time I saw his face for 4 seconds before he turned off his camera.
What did he look like?
I mean, I'd already Googled him, like I'd seen his face. Because after our first session, I was like, well, what does this man look like? And he's just a very nice man in his mid-30s.
Is he hot?
No.
Are you saying that because he could listen to
this?
No,
I don't find him hot.
Okay.
I've had a lot of therapists that have been hot. Uh-huh. Oh, I had this one therapist that I only had for 2 months. I'm saying, so this is not what this is about at all.
I don't care.
This is a much larger story that maybe we'll get into one day because there's a very parasocial tale that goes along with it.
Ooh.
Maybe this will be, you know what? You tell yours first and then I'll tell this story.
This will be your parasocial anecdote?
This will be my parasocial anecdote.
How's that for a transition?
Boom.
Wait, so you want me to say my thing first? No, you go first. You go first.
So,
yeah.
I was dating this woman who was training to be a therapist. This is such tea I'm about to spill. And I only talk about it every 6 months and then I regret it. But actually, I'm owning that this fully happened. I was dating this woman when I was 18 who was 26. Now, on record, I always date people who are a lot older, or I used to, until I got sober and worked on myself and realized it all relates back to our first episode, which
yes.
is that I was really hurt by someone who was twice my age. And I've been trying to right that wrong ever since. And it's never worked. So I was dating this woman who was older than me. She was becoming a therapist. I was a freshman in college. And I started going to this LGBT center to get therapy. And I had this great young therapist who cost almost nothing because he was also in training to be a therapist.
Right.
I knew that they were both going to the same program to become therapists. But I'm not a therapist, so I didn't know that the way that works is actually once a week they meet in a room and they discuss their clients as a group with their professor and with the other people in training. My girlfriend did not want to tell me this. Because she, I assume, liked hearing about my private information. I never told him in session, oh, by the way, I'm dating Casey, one of the people in your cohort. Because I just didn't think it was relevant. I would say, like, my partner Casey, who is becoming a therapist, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't know they were in the same program. And I thought, he must just know. I don't know. Whatever. Eventually, he realizes, oh my God, this person is in my program. And this is a huge problem because it breaks all kinds of therapeutic ethics.
He's about to get kicked out of the freaking job.
He's not. She is. I mean, he just wasn't aware.
Oh my
Poor guy.
God.
So he brings this up in a session. It's a really big deal.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being one of the other people in the group that day?
It'd be amazing. Like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. I was never the fly on the wall. She was
Sadly,
the fly on the wall every time for everything I would talk about in therapy. This is another
Holy
thing
shit.
Is in our relationship, she would bring up a lot of times, right? So I was 18. I would talk about a ton.
Right.
And I was still very in love with Mike.
Censored.
It bleeped. She would bring it up all the time. And I would be like, it just feels like sometimes she says things that I don't remember saying to her.
Oh my God. This is a psychological horror movie mm-hmm. that I want to watch. I'm so sorry.
It gets
sorry.
So much worse. So he drops me as a client for this reason. And I completely understand because now I learn.
Wait, he tells you.
He goes, this is completely inappropriate. I can't be your therapist. I can't discuss you at a group level, which I'm required to do in order to become a therapist.
Uh-huh.
So I have to let you go. I'm so sorry. Our last few sessions are literally just me kikiing with this gay guy because I love him. He's so great. I really hope he's a thriving therapist now. He's awesome.
Okay.
Okay. Ugh. Eventually me and this woman break up and years go by. And I work at a coffee shop and I have a regular named Wow. I shouldn't have said his name, but that's okay.
Censored.
I have a regular named something. We'll call him Tom. And Tom and I become friends outside. Once again, a man who's twice my age.
Sure.
And one day, I've like, oh, another person at this coffee shop had also dated Casey. So like, we'd spoken kind of publicly at the coffee shop about the fact that we both had the same ex.
Okay.
So was aware that I dated this girl, Casey.
Gotcha.
One time I'm getting...
Wait, censored was aware you're dating this girl, Casey.
That doesn't have to be censored. Oh, fuck. Tom was aware I was dating this girl, Casey. So one time I'm getting lunch with Tom, and Tom says to me, I have a confession to make, which is my least favorite.
I literally never say that to me.
Oh my God.
Never.
Go on. And Tom says, my therapist is your ex-girlfriend, Casey. We don't have to censor her name. I'm laying it all out.
Yeah, for sure.
And I go, you know, I hate that. And I've had some issues with her in the past doing unethical therapeutic practices. I'm surprised she didn't drop you as a client. He was like, I actually had to sign a bunch of paperwork regarding this. And I was like, well, I don't see why this is an issue, because it's not like you go into therapy and you talk about me every week. And he was like, I actually speak about you every session because I am in love with you. So then Casey contacts me and should get lunch
to talk about
this issue.
No.
And it's very clear during the lunch, she doesn't want to say anything that he's said privately in session only to her, because that would be breaking HIPAA, and goes on to do exactly that. Say tons of stuff that I have never heard before. And so I say all this to my new therapist, and she's like, well, we have to report her both to her work and to the board of licensing and all of these things.
That's right. We need a snitch.
Both her work and the board did not do anything about it. The board never got back to me, and her work was like, we'll let it slide. Crazy. She is now, I would say, one of the most famous therapists online. You can find her at Queer Sex Therapy. Everyone I know follows her. And privately, I just have all of this knowledge that the person they have a parasocial therapeutic relationship with has broken confidentiality with both people who are her clients and me. So granted, she has no confidentiality with me, but she is required to report that she knows people. You're supposed to step outside the room when you know one of the clients that's being discussed. That's my tea. Isn't that truly bonkers bananas? And it's a lot. It's a long, complicated story.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. She has, I think, like 300,000 Instagram followers.
Oh my fucking God.
I hope she's well. I have her blocked.
Oh you've rendered me speechless.
People I know will be like, oh my gosh, I just found this amazing post, and then like show it to me, and I'm like, that is not only my ex but also a real menace.
The first thing I need to say is, this is exactly what I expect out of a TikTok therapist.
Yeah.
Anyone who is doing therapy content.
Well, there's some that really keep it. Oh, maybe not. I mean, there's some that I really trust.
You have to. Maybe not anyone.
Yeah.
Maybe not anyone. But like, you're guilty until proven innocent to me if you're a person making therapy content.
Or a doctor. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty egregious.
Oh my God.
There have been times, there was like this period where I was like, okay, so her work and this board are not giving me any justice. So I like made a TikTok about it and it started to blow up. And then I really got too anxious. I have some trauma with what happened. And I was like, you know, I just don't want to be even involved in a cancellation of somebody again, because it's too stressful. And the messages I would receive, you know.
But God, it's so crazy.
It's really crazy.
Holy,
it's really crazy.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Charlie.
Yeah. And now, what? By the way, when I turned 26, that's when I was like, oh, that was nuts. Once I was the age that she was right. when that happened, I was like, yeah.
Holy mother of God.
You know? And I'll say, as someone who, on record on this podcast, really believes that people can change and heal, I hope that that is not the way that she operates now. But I have no way of knowing. And no one online has any way of knowing.
That's right. So. And I don't trust her because she's a TikTok therapist. So
yeah.
Not because of everything you just said.
Yeah. Right, right. That's the main reason. That was the first strike for you. Yeah.
Holy.
That's my parasocial fucking anecdote.
This blows anything we could say for the rest of the podcast out of the water.
I guess I'm glad I brought up therapy.
Me too. We were truly just chatting. We were truly just chit-chatting.
And then I was like, oh, wait, I had that guy, but only for 2 months. Why? Oh.
What an insane betrayal.
Yeah. Ongoingly. And I really thought I was done after that first time. After we'd broken up, I was like, I guess that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And then the thing that happened with Tom is... it just was next level.
Oh, dear Tom. Oh, yeah. Tom, I have a confession to make. Tom, I'm in love with you. Tom, my therapist is your therapist.
Was your girlfriend.
Was your girlfriend. Was your yeah, girlfriend.
When you were 18.
Who was not your therapist, but was listening to your therapist.
And also the partner of another person who worked at the shop, which is a weird.
I forgot about that.
That was weird.
I forgot about that detail.
The Chicago lesbian community was pretty small. I guess.
What? Yeah, in your experience.
Yeah.
Dear God.
So what's going on with you and Lord?
Oh my God. Fortunately, what's going on with me and Lord is huge.
It's great.
Huge.
Tell me everything.
So I think this podcast episode is going to come out like a few weeks after the cultural moment of this, but too fucking bad. I still need to talk about it.
Yeah, get in there.
And also, like, it'll be, you know, interesting to see what's going on when this comes out in contrast. Charlie XCX just released the Lord remix of Girl So Confusing, one of the tracks off of Charlie XCX's new album, Brat, aka the album of the summer for gay people.
And I'll say, last time we recorded, this wasn't even a recording, it was just a meeting between us.
Yeah.
I was like, explain to me, Charlie, because I don't really understand the hype. I have since listened to the album and I do completely understand.
This is so funny. Like, I've actually thought about this multiple times. I was like, I can't believe I just explained. You literally said to me,
I don't get
you
it.
You were like, why do we need Charlie XCX when we have Dua Lipa?
Is that what I said? Well, what I've learned is they don't even do the same genre of music. So let's start there. But
and I just didn't go into that part.
You were like,
I got where you were coming from. And I tried to meet you where you were at.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I basically explained that she is just a gay icon.
And I didn't get why, but now I do.
Because you listen to the album?
I listened to the album and also I saw some more interviews and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Completely.
She's very cunty vibe. Very, you know.
It's just a genre I don't listen to very often.
Hyper pop / pop.
Right.
Well, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you I for listening. I love it
here. It's great to work out to.
Great to work out to. Great to drive to. Okay, so anyway, sorry.
So anyways. Lord.
So Lord and I. Lord, as we know, released her first single when she was 16.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna blast through her career. She released her first album, her first single when she was 16.
I might have also been 16.
I think you might have also been 16. maybe 17 or 18.
I remember being in high school and listening to it on my way to school.
and then she releases her first album, Pure Heroine. It's a smash hit. Everyone's like, wow, she's a prodigy. And then a few years later, she releases Melodrama. It's a masterpiece. Everyone's like, wow, she did it again. She's a little older now. That's nice. At least that's what I said. and then after that, she released an album called Solar Power. It's what we in the fandom call a flop.
Mm. This was when she was blonde.
It's when she was blonde. Exactly. Very good.
Didn't make sense.
That's the main thing.
I looked up photos recently because I was like, remind me what happened with that.
And the blonde was a, I mean, she looked great, but it was part of the flop. Yes. Unfortunately for the blonde. Mm. So she releases this album. It's a flop. The fans are like, we love it, because fans are always like, we love it. But like, we all are like, what's going on?
Right.
And she does something so crazy parasocially to me, very interesting. She starts releasing this newsletter and she goes, I'm not posting on social media anymore. I talked to my label and I just want to release this newsletter now. Like, I just want to like write, be creative, Joan Didion this shit, wow. Share some photos. I'm going to tour Solar Power and this is my form of marketing. So that's a very interesting thing to do parasocially, because it's like really acting like I'm being so authentic with you. Mm-hmm. I'm being so authentic and truly artistic with you. At the same time as this kind of like weird, it's actually an interesting album if you remove it from Lorde. It's like, it's fun to listen to. But after these two other albums came out, it didn't really make sense. And in one of those newsletters, she is like talking about the album and she's like, thanks you guys for, you know, kind of like hanging with me through this album. I know it was confusing for some people. I was talking to one of my friends in England and she was like, you know, when you're an artist, you have peaks and valleys. And this album is a valley. And I read this and I was like, damn, Lorde, you have mean ass fucking friends. Like, what the hell? That's not right. When Lorde releases Solar Power is when Jewel Kiernan, me, realized that I had a parasocial relationship with Lorde, because it hurt my feelings.
The album hurt your feelings.
Yes.
Wow.
It really hurt my feelings. I felt like Lorde and I were on the same page about music and what we like to listen to and what made us feel alive. Mm-hmm. And then she released this album, Solar Power, and I was like, never mind.
You're like, I guess we have nothing in common. I guess I mean nothing to you. I bet a lot of people felt that way.
That's exactly how I felt.
Garrett felt that way.
Garrett
felt that way. I guess we mean nothing to you, Lorde.
Like, I was truly hurt. I was hurt and I didn't know, because like I exhibit some stan behavior, but not that much stan behavior. And I definitely like didn't with her. Like, I loved her, but I wasn't like, you know, obsessed.
Yeah.
So that really clued me into something I did not know before. It was painful. I was like mad at her and it hurt. Okay. So anyways, and then we made this podcast. Okay. And then, and so speeding ahead to today, Lorde has been not exactly MIA for the past few years, but, doing her newsletter, occasionally cryptically posting. There's other things regarding Jack Antonoff that we'll do a 7-part miniseries on someday that I can't get into right now. But ultimately, it's like, if you're Jewel Kiernan and you have a parasocial relationship with Lorde, you feel like Lorde's not doing that well. Lorde had a flop album. Lorde doesn't really seem to have a relationship with a producer who she produced her masterpiece album with anymore.
Mm.
She didn't go to his wedding. She's saying sad things in her newsletter. Lorde's not doing well. She's blonde. Lorde's not doing well. Then she reemerges on a verse of Charlie XCX's. Sorry. I need to back up one more time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This story is exactly as important to me as your
absolutely
story.
No, absolutely. And I can feel that.
Okay.
And I'm right there with you.
Okay. So first, Charlie XCX releases Brat. Huge album. It's very well anticipated and critically, like, we like it as fans and the critics like it. One of the songs is very clearly about Lorde. She sings, "Girl, so confusing. People say we're alike. They say we have the same hair. They say we should make music together. We go out to dinner. We have nothing to talk about. We have nothing in common. I don't know if you hate me. I don't know if you want me to fail."
And that she'd asked to make music together and it just never happens is right. Like a huge piece of it to me.
It says the internet will go crazy if we ever make music together. And so everyone is like, oh my God, this song is about Lorde. And I'm like, yeah, it's about Lorde. It's very clearly about Lorde. Like, there are a lot of Easter eggs about Lorde. But none of us know that Lorde's going to release a verse on it in a few weeks.
Yeah, I imagine, especially Charlie XCX did not know.
Well, that's what we don't know.
Oh.
We don't know. Like, my assumption, because I think everything's a conspiracy, is that this was all planned 7 months ago. And that, but there is a possibility that they released the album and everyone on the internet went, we need a Lorde verse on this song. Cause that is what everyone on the internet said. They went, we all went, oh, that'd be so crazy if Lorde had a verse on this song.
Well,
so crazy. There's a possibility that that happened. And then they were like, yeah, let's get Lorde to write a verse on the song. But I think they planned it.
Having listened now to the album and to the remix.
Yes.
It does feel like it was written like the day before it was released, because it doesn't. I'm going to sound like I don't know anything about music when I say this. It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't. It was wordy. I personally did not like it. I was like, I called my partner and I said, I think it's culturally huge. And it's just not that good.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
I can't be in a gay club being like, girl, I was at war with my body. I'm so sorry.
It's taking everything in my don't want to get a copyright strike against our podcast
to show me that I'm wrong.
Full verse.
Sure. Sure.
From memory. I disagree. I thought it was great and I was shocked it was great. I expected it to be bad.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? This is a part of it, I think. Because here I am having this fucking saga of this album I didn't like that came out like 75 years ago called Solar Power. And so to me, I'm like, I'm never getting old Lorde again.
It's over.
I'm never getting the pop sound again, the dance. I'm never getting the honesty, never getting the lyricism. I'm never connecting with Lorde again. It's never going to happen for me. Not that it's over, but that I'm never going to get it again.
Right. She's never going to bring
She's never going to give it to me. Yeah.
To you.
So I'm expecting, if a verse came, that it's not going to be good. It's going to be bad. When it came and it was a bunch of the things I thought I was never going to get from Lorde again, I was like, what? I'm still processing.
That's and you loved it. And
I loved
it. Now do you feel like, okay, the possibility, first of all, I think even from the newsletter, it sounds like Lorde is aware of the reception.
Right.
And probably will not do that again.
Well, yes, but what we have not yet talked about is the other part that the verse addresses, which is that Lorde and Charlie are on the coin that the industry loves to spend. Mm. Which is, to me, like, I think Lorde has been having a bad time because she was a 16-year-old who released an album and got chewed up by producers.
Yes.
And spat out. And now she's like probably miserable and full of mental health issues and probably, you know what I mean? You know, you guys all know what I'm alluding to. So I'm still like, I don't know if I'm going to get Lorde back, but I got a verse about what I thought was happening to Lorde and she kind of confirmed
addressed
what
it
was happening.
Totally.
So that's like kind of bad. It's good for me, but it's like weird because it's like already am too obsessed. And then for her to be like, yes, Jewel, you're right. I'm sad. I'm not doing well. Here's a verse about it in your favorite new album with Charlie XCX. You're going to see with Troye Sivan in October. You paid $70 to sit in the nosebleeds at SoFi Stadium.
I have a prediction.
Yeah.
I think next year you're going to get a full Lorde album. This is my prediction. And a year after, you are going to get a Charlie XCX Lorde album. What? Or at least a song that they've worked on together. I think.
You didn't even know who Charlie XCX was a month ago.
And here's why I think that. Because I'm sure she's not doing well, but I would imagine Lorde is still going to continue to be Lorde. I think.
She went blonde.
And now that they've worked it out on the remix, I imagine that they probably will write music together. Maybe not a full album, but like a single or a song on Lorde's album that will come out in one calendar year. something to think about. That's my prediction.
My prediction is that
I'm wrong.
My prediction is that
you think she's done making music?
No, I don't think she's done making music.
Right?
I don't think she's, this is a terrible thing to say. I don't know if I want to say it. I don't think she's getting better anytime soon.
But she...
Emotionally.
You don't think?
No, because I don't think they worked it out on the remix. I think the remix is awesome, but I still don't think they get along or they enjoy having dinner together.
Maybe not, but you could do one song with somebody you don't like that much. I mean, right? Yeah, I also... Yeah.
Yeah, they can, but what I kind of need is for Charlie to save Lorde. Because no one else is coming to save Lorde.
Oh, I think Lorde's coming to save Lorde because she's clearly working on herself. Oh, I would just say if you've been through an eating disorder, gaining weight back is a sign that you've entered recovery. So it's possible that she is seeing a therapist to tie it all together. I really thought I did something there.
Actually, thank you for calling out what you did, because I didn't. I was like, I didn't hear it.
Okay,
now I hear it. I hear it.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. It's possible that she's working on it. There are good therapists.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that is the message we should leave this segment with. There are good therapists. But I don't think they're TikTok therapists.
And I hope Lorde knows them.
Which brings up another question that if anybody knows any information about this, I need to know about the world of celebrity therapists. Because if you're a celebrity therapist, like...
Are there therapists who are just for celebrities?
Of course there are.
I know there are hypnotherapists who are just for celebrities, but I assumed it's like regular therapists who just happen to have like a famous client.
No. It's a niche. Well, you guys tell me because I don't actually know.
Yeah, you guys write in. Let us know.
This is the only feedback I want about the podcast.
Are you a celebrity therapist? And can we talk to you about...
Your clients.
Your clients.
Okay. Right. I just also want to go on the record and say that I also hope that Lorde is on the road to recovery in many ways. And honestly, I'm sorry for being one of your fans. Because I feel like I'm part of the problem.
No. Maybe. I don't know. What is the problem? She clearly, I mean...
What is the problem?
Like, even her friends thought that it was not her best album.
Her mean-ass fucking friends.
Well, I remember one time I was sitting with a friend and we were listening to... And I disagree with this take. We were listening to MIA's... what is the song called? I Fly Like Paper Get High Like...
Paper Planes.
Thank you. And I love that song, and I think it's great.
Great song.
But my friend said, if a friend of ours made this song, I wouldn't think it was good.
Whoa.
Well, it was like, if you'd known the person who made this, you would be like, it's a lot of cash register noises, you know?
Wrong take, but...
I agree, but sometimes our friends are more brutal than our fans.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. In conclusion, I love you, Lord, and you hurt me, but I forgive you. Please give us a new album. And also, but also, like, just leave the music industry if you need to.
Take care.
That's kind of my main thing. It's like, maybe you need to leave.
Stay brunette.
It's not what, that's not the message.
Sorry. It's a message.
All right. We have a really great interview coming up.
It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it.
And yeah, truly, we finally talk about K-pop. So you better stay tuned. Cheers. I am so excited to introduce our guest for this episode of the Parasocial Social Club, Skye Seymour. Skye is an extremely talented actor, streamer, and content creator with 2 feet firmly planted in the world of nerd. Mm-hmm. Skye has over 50,000 people following them across platforms, and you might have seen Skye on HBO's Silicon Valley. Wait, Silicon or Silicone? Real quick.
Con.
Silicone, Silicon.
Silicone has an E on the end. It's a substance.
You're like, there's a definitive answer, Jewel. This is not up for debate.
I'm so sorry.
Anyways, you might have seen Skye on HBO's Silicon Valley or perhaps on your For You page, especially if you're a fan of fantasy cosplay or Magic the Gathering. Skye, you are a parasocial icon.
I'm going to cry.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
We are really excited to ask you 8,000 questions.
8,000?
It's quite a few.
Yeah. That was not in the email.
Generally more than... We like to put fewer in the emails.
Oh, good, good. Yeah.
So people save some.
It reminds me of like being in one of those like machines where the wind is all around you and you have to get as much money as possible.
Yes.
But all of the money is just questions waiting to be asked.
Yeah.
That's how I
feel
right now.
And you won't catch all of them, but it will.
That's what I feel like. I mean, yeah. So I'm excited about
this. I've always wanted to do one of those.
Didn't you always think like you would do a great
job? Yes. I was like, you guys are so bad at this.
Yeah.
You didn't wear a big parachute on top. They just never wear like a muumuu. And I'm like, that's what you have to do.
Yes. Yeah.
You need a pouch to be stuffing the money into.
Exactly. Marsupial. You have to be a marsupial.
Marsupial. Exactly. Okay.
Yes. A callback to something that happened prior.
Okay, guys, stop excluding the audience.
Oh, hi, audience.
Listen, hi.
Hey, audience.
So how do you two know each other?
Thank you so much for asking.
You're so welcome.
The two of us met on the set of Tabletop News, a YouTube channel about tabletop news.
Yes.
And Skye was the extremely unnecessarily competent social media manager. Was that your job or did you have more job?
Yeah, there was. It was a wide umbrella. It was a wide
umbrella.
It's
one of those jobs.
And I am very grateful for the opportunity because I met incredible people like Jewel. And it was a whole lot of fun. And I hope I did a good job. You know,
you did an amazing job.
I really challenged myself. And I love challenging myself to things. Yeah, like waking up in the morning, having a good day.
The greatest challenge.
Making sure that I make my coffee correctly. You know, just normal.
How do you make your coffee?
That's a hard question, actually.
Like a French press or what?
So most recently, a month ago, I got an espresso maker.
Oh my God, congratulations.
So blessed. Thank you so much. I'm living my best life.
You have the puck and you're like cranking it into the thing.
Oh yeah.
Not one of those fake serious. Ass like.
No.
Yeah.
Nespresso.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't have the little cups.
I'll say
that
the
I
name.
Buy.
Yeah.
Dang. I really hope you just bleep Nespresso.
Yeah,
and bleep,
yeah, everyone's like, what did Charlie
what did
say?
What did they
a slur?
Say?
What was that?
Gosh, Nespresso is a hot topic.
I just, it tastes so bad.
Yes.
But yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I've been experiencing like other coffee shops' coffee beans recently, just going around finding some coffee beans and being like, oh, I wonder what this lilac and clover would taste like. That doesn't really seem like good, but it is. It's pleasant.
Do you have a favorite so far? I've already derailed the podcast. Do you have a favorite coffee shop bean? Because I'm also on a hunt.
Yes, there is. There is. There is a really cool coffee shop near me. It's wonderful, and it is called the Ugly Mug.
Okay.
And I love the Ugly Mug, and they have like this coffee bag that's called like I can't remember what it's called, like the Nutty Brew or something like that, and it's just delicious. It's to die for. Try it
amazing.
Out. Yeah.
Shouts out to the coffee mug.
The ugly mug. Yes.
Oh, that's a cute name. So yeah, so that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, Sky is like really good at doing social media. And then I stalked you and I was like, wait, Sky is not just a behind the camera situation.
No.
Sky is on like every single platform known to man. I feel like you're a jack of all trades. You are on Twitch, you vlog on YouTube, you do short form comedic content on TikTok, and some would say Instagram Reels. you make fashion content, you make cosplay content, you make Magic the Gathering content. Please take us back. Where did it all begin?
So I, at the age of 18, I came out to LA and I was like, I'm going to be an actor. This is what I want to do. What can I do with this as I look at myself in the mirror, right? And I come to LA and I do that, and then I go through the audition process. I'm getting headshots, you know, learning, taking classes, and then you have to fit. Then you have, I realize that you have to have some sort of social media presence.
So true,
right? Like that's a part of it. And one of the worst experiences is walking into an audition and the first question isn't like, how are you, but rather, how many followers do you have? I just wanted to curl up and die at that moment.
Yeah.
So I got on this website called YouNow, and it was a live stream website. You just live stream on there and do whatever you want.
I remember this site.
YouNow.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
YouNow.
I remember.
So I jumped on there, and the way that they did it, it's very... Well, at the time, they only had boys or girls category, so let's just talk, you know, there is something
so
to say
canceled.
There. There
Why
is
were
something
those
to say
even
there.
Categories?
I don't even, those
Wait,
were the only
that's
two.
True. That makes it seem so much more porn-y than I think
that's
they
right.
Meant.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Weird.
And so I was on that, and I would just live stream talking. Like, I yeah. just was a live streamer that just talked to people, and As a youth would, I did all kinds of very cringy things in sure. those streams. And from that, I accrued a little bit of a following. And then I was working on shows and such. And I met a group. I met a person that has a YouTube channel. And we became very, very close. And I met their partner. And at that moment, their partner introduced me to Twitter. And I know. And so I was like, Twitter, I don't know. What would I say? This is kind of like, what am I supposed to tweet out about? I'm not
Sky,
like, I
didn't
have
stalk your Twitter. I
don't
know what's on there.
Don't. Please don't. It's just, it's not a good time. I mean, it's a good time sometime.
Anyways, carry on.
But yes. So at that point, I got a Twitter. I got it. I had started making an Instagram, and they introduced me to what YouTube is. And I started being in their vlogs. And at that point, I wanted to make my own content. And so I started making YouTube videos and making content and then live streaming. And that eventually evolved into live streaming on Twitch. And at that point, I had done some shows. I had met a lot of people. I've accrued a community from all of these different things that I did. And I decided that I should probably have a brand, because it was during that time that a personality started to evolve into you have to have a brand.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, what is that? And then I had a nice little spiral about what my brand was.
Who am I?
Who am I? And then I finally figured it out. And that took a lot of iterations of the jack of all trades that mm-hmm. you have seen, from iterations of fantasy content, Magic the Gathering content, YouTube, TV shows, movies, etc., and to leading you into the person that you hear and see now.
I think that, just so you know, as a consumer of your content,
thank you.
It works.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I find your content delightful and very authentic, and I'm also like very drawn into it, especially, and I haven't made that many lately, so consider this request, especially your outfit TikTok.
Thank you.
I really like those.
I love them so much. And as you grow on social media, and especially with the world that we live in now, which TikTok is very, very necessary, when you find a brand that takes off for you, most people just run with that.
Right.
Which currently my Magic the Gathering content is taking off for me, which is why I've been making a lot more of that. But it's so hard when you have so many passions and you're passionate about everything.
You want to
do
each
thing. And then
you
have thoughts, but then if there's a random person that jumps on my page and they're like, wow, fashion content, I really like that. And then it's Magic the Gathering. And then it's a short form comedic sketch. And then it's drawing. And then it's music. And then it's like, I just have so many different sides that I really like and want to make content from that are original. But like, is that the right move? Is that smart? I have started wanting, like desiring to make content. And that is fresh for me.
I want that back.
Right?
I gotta right? tell me everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, for about the last 7 years of my life, no joke, 7 years of my life, I have not had that. It has been like pulling teeth if I was to make content or like release content, which I did, but it was more a sense of survival, not a sense of like desire. And that, my friends, that is the truth. And that it has been an uphill journey, but I'm so excited to be here today and say this on this podcast. So yeah, the Magic the Gathering content is really popping and I know what I'm doing and I'm excited about that.
Also, for anyone who's listening who's uninitiated, Magic the Gathering is a really addicting deck building game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is the oldest trading card game.
Really?
As well, yeah. The oldest one, yeah. It's insane how many years they've been making cards, and there's like over 35,000 cards that they made. Like, that's crazy.
Pre Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
So true, Bless. Charlie.
I love Yu-Gi-Oh!
So
Me too.
Oh my God. So good. The Harpies, Dark Magician Girls saved my life. I don't know what to say. Pegasus is a serve. Anyways, continue.
Okay, let's time to do our career.
Great. Oh. Here we go.
Let's go. Break it down. What is it?
So listen.
Okay.
A parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship in which we feel invested in a relationship with someone who does not know us at all. Yes. Develop illusions of intimacy, friendship, identification with a media persona. Like being a fan and being really invested in a famous actor or a pop star.
Yes.
Have you heard of parasocial relationships before this podcast?
I have. Being a streamer, you have to know what a parasocial relationship was. And the first time I heard it, I thought, oh no. I thought, uh-oh. Am I doing this? Is this what's happening? It's a very
The answer yes?
Kind of. Like, I kind of felt that way, but I didn't know how I felt about it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the question that really pops up when you hear parasocial relationship and like learning what that is for the first time.
Okay, before we get ahead of ourselves, so when you learned what it is, like, did you realize that you yourself had parasocial relationships?
In High School Musical.
Continue. We're so ready.
Which one it's gonna be?
I know.
Which person?
Corbin. Sorry,
you wanna guess?
I'll let you.
You wanna
Corbin
guess?
Blue.
Okay,
Corbin Blue. Oh.
Troy Gabriel.
Blonde.
Oh,
Ashley Tisdale.
Ashley Tisdale's
character. What was her
character's name? It was like
Sharpay.
Sharpay. Right. Right.
Troy?
I did have.
It was Troy.
It was Troy.
100%.
Because he was an actor who did sports.
It was one. He sang.
Yes.
Okay.
He sang.
And that's different.
Yeah. You're like, excuse me. First of all, he actually sang. He actually wasn't just an actor. He was also a singer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. The first scene in this sports movie was
the sports movie called
and
High School
I remember
Musical.
It primarily
as a basketball
the
film.
The Blind Side walked so High School Musical could run.
No, but like when I was a kid, I watched the movie, and that was probably the closest thing that I probably got to like a parasocial relationship at all, because like I was so obsessed. Like I didn't get obsessed with really anything. I love anime. Anime is a big thing to me, but also that's voice acting and they aren't real characters. And like, I don't know if you can even have parasocial relationships with 2D characters.
Something to investigate.
You
want to
talk about
this
that?
This is a something really good question because I was thinking about this because a lot of my TikTok is edits of Logan Roy.
Oh,
which is a really bizarre.
Why Logan
I know, what is,
Roy?
Yeah, right?
That's so awesome.
Why Logan? Of all of the, yeah, it's
I
fine.
Love
of
Logan.
The whole family?
Slay.
I get it. Okay, absolute slay, and I agree. But just interesting to me
yes,
that it would be
very
him in particular.
Like fan cams?
Yes. Like fan cams to like music, and it's like lots of,
yeah,
oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Oh, I know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
I've gotten those with Proximus from the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
A hilarious person to have.
I had no idea there was a Planet Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes fandom.
It's the
yet.
Most recent movie, and I just want everyone to know that's listening that I can't remember if I've seen the previous three movies.
They're so good.
I remember watching the first one thinking, oh, that's just so mean and evil. Like, the people are dying, and like me not clearly understanding the point of this movie.
The name of the movie is
the
literal
reason that the apes are in charge or need to be, like how terrible they've been treated. Anyways, but yeah, I get that. I get the music edits too. Yeah,
it's just weird because it's like it's not an obsession with the actor.
Right.
I'm sure they also appreciate the actor, but it's the character.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, yes. So were you obsessed with Troy or Zach?
So definitely Troy.
Wow.
And not Zach.
No, that's not even
so
thinking about Zach.
No. Because like I just like wished and wanted to be like even remotely accepted by Troy's
him.
Character.
Oh, and a lot of that movie, he can't accept himself.
Exactly. Is that insane or what?
Oh my gosh.
So like that's the closest thing that I can get to like parasocial, mainly because like I was never like super drawn to like real actors in any way, shape or form, because my joy came from like anime, which is clearly like animation and cartoons
right.
and voice actors. Like that's what did it for me. They would talk about subjects that like wouldn't be talked about in like teenage shows or anything like that. Like it would be very dark, like whether it's like psychological or horror or like whatever the case, like it really developed my curiosity, and so that's where a lot of my time went. All of that being said, I don't think that I had the care to develop a parasocial relationship because of that.
This is fascinating.
So that's what
I'm gonna
I wanted.
Think about that.
I'm so like I feel like I'm disappointing the podcast.
No,
like, you know,
not at all.
No,
but
you're
I'm surprised by the
us.
Number of people who feel this way, only because we really have so many parasocial
we
relationships.
Hundreds.
Yeah. So
I
it's
love
funny
this
when
for
people
you.
Are like, "Not really." I'm like, "Wait," but then at nighttime,
yeah.
What do you
when
imagine?
You're on your phone?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about a very specific podcaster that you have.
Okay,
you
I
know,
do
like,
have one. Okay, you want to know my one parasocial
yes,
relationship?
Yes.
Okay, this is the one and only parasocial relationship.
Oh my God.
I will die for this person.
Yeah, exactly.
Like exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yes. His name is Felix. Uh-huh. He is from Stray Kids, which is a K-pop band. And I would die for him. I would do literally anything and everything for this beautiful fairy man.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I would jump. I'd do anything.
I would jump.
I would go through a Mr. Beast, like you get $800,000. You're like lifted in the sky and you have to do like 16 obstacle courses for free.
For him.
For him.
All for him.
Because
like, no wow. joke, like put me on right now, I'll do it.
Because
what is it about him?
But yeah, why? Because talent,
because
looks,
I mean, yes,
charm,
everything. He is just, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with him. I don't know why.
I have a really important question.
Yeah,
how could he hurt you?
How could he hurt me?
Mm-hmm. What could he do in his career, in a post, what could he do that would like make you upset?
Die. Is that funny to you? Is this humorous in some way, shape, or form?
My answer was like, do racism. So I find die to be like the greatest answer of all time.
Thank you. Came from
if
the heart.
If he died, that would hurt me.
It's so true.
And he better not.
Am I wrong?
No, you're
think
completely
about your,
right.
Think about it. Think you're about completely your parasocial right. relationships.
And I've
think,
let a lot
is there anything
slide.
Else that they could do more?
No, absolutely.
No.
That would be
That's
actually
correct.
The worst thing. Although... You know the way, like, people go insane when someone dies, and it
yeah.
becomes, they become, like, way more famous in a way?
Yeah.
I almost wonder if, like, there would be a huge, the culture would shift, and he would be, like, a household name, Felix.
That would I'm be just, upsetting.
Well, the thing yeah. Is that, oh, gosh, I don't want to talk about this, but I do. the thing is that if someone like that passes, do I think that I want to support AI? And do I want to see his likeness on the screen once more?
You're like, yes.
And half of me, no.
No.
More?
No.
No, less. No way.
It's hard.
No. Anyways, that's the absolute chaotic answer that I had to bring to this table right here, to this podcast.
What's his name again?
Felix.
Felix, I'm going to keep a look. I'm sure my phone is listening and my phone will start showing me TikToks
he is
of him.
Incredible in every way.
I've seen Stray Kids, but I don't know who Felix is.
Oh, you don't? He has a very deep voice. He has the deepest voice. And he's also a chef. He's a 5-star Michelin.
What?
Whoa.
I think
why is he doing
you should
K-pop?
All listen to a song.
Why is he doing K-pop?
It is a lyric that he says. That's why I said it. I'm sorry. Oh don't roll God. Your eyes. Julie's currently rolling her eye. I think, actually, are you okay?
I am not.
Uh-oh.
You're not okay.
Jules strokes right now.
There is something okay. happening on this
We
couch.
Haven't discussed K-pop on this podcast at all.
No,
oh,
we haven't.
Sorry.
And those are some really deep
omissions.
Parasocial
yeah, that's,
relationships.
I mean, yeah. I'm sorry for y'all.
Right. Right.
Yeah, no.
Thank goodness I'm here yeah. to steer the conversation.
We're so grateful. Someone had to say it.
Wait. Okay, sorry. One more question about him. What is his role in the group? Like, you know how there's like the one who can dance, the one who raps, the funny one,
so
the dad.
He's like an all-rounder. he is beautiful and talented and dances well, and he's the cutest one. He's definitely he has the power, the essence of cute on his side.
The charisma.
So, yes, and he is also their social media manager.
What?
Yes, so he's the one that all, I guess, you know, they have a huge business behind them.
Right, but he's
so,
like the
but he
quote.
Is, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that starts the videos. He's the one that records it.
Right.
He's the one, he is the face of that. And so you really get to, I guess, to close the gap.
That's so parasocial.
That literally is so,
that is parasocial.
You should DM and be like, collab?
No.
I would die.
Social media manager to social media
no,
manager?
No, I just want his happiness. That's all. That's all I want.
Oh, my God.
I just
God.
Want his happiness, and whatever that is, good.
Good.
And if it's me dying, sure. It's
me doing
time.
A big obstacle course.
It's me doing a giant
for
obstacle course
Such
for
a
free.
Funny ask.
If it's me trying to make him more money, sure. Here you go.
Okay, back to work. Back to
yes,
work, you guys.
Yes, work.
Sky.
Yes.
As a digital creator, mm-hmm. do you feel like your followers and your viewers, do you feel like they have a parasocial relationship with you?
Some do.
Go on.
Some definitely do. I stream on Twitch almost every day.
What?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. That's my like main job, as I've been looking for a job as of recently, or not recently, but as of this year. And so you have to, you know, do something. And that's what I've been doing for a very long time. And I have really accrued a community, a beautiful community, where they like have gone through the ringer with me. It feels like they have really seen all of the sides of me. And like those that have stayed have been just incredible and have supported me and like lifted me up. And I believe they, you know, they, that's how you develop a parasocial relationship.
Absolutely.
And there's so much more to that, but yeah, I believe that there are some who do have parasocial relationships, but with my type of content, I am very like exactly who I am. And so I made this decision pretty early on in my acting career that if I was going to stream, if I was going to like share my social media and my presence in social media that I should just be who I really, really am so that they can see in within years of time the person that they've been supporting. And so they know the difference. I would hope that they would know the difference between the actor that is portrayed as, you know, Mark or Ethan or whatever the case may be to who Skylar is. And that's what I tried to do in my acting career via my opposite my social media presence.
That's deep, man.
Isn't that deep?
That's deep so as hell.
Deep, man.
That's how you live in this industry.
That
baby.
Is freaking
it's
deep.
Real though.
Did you guys want to talk about that? Is that okay?
No, that's exactly that's
okay,
perfect.
Great. Awesome.
That's yeah. You're right on the money.
One thing that I really like asking people is yeah. is when you started when you create content, when yeah. you stream, whatever,
yeah.
is any of that strategically you are trying to create opportunities for people to relate to you parasocially? But I kind of feel like that question doesn't even really apply to you.
Right?
Well, it's like almost like you want them to relate to you socially.
I do.
Not parasocially.
Yeah.
Like you are trying your best to pose. Granted, yeah, this is filmed and it's live
sure,
or whatever,
yeah.
all these different things, but you're as close as possible to who you actually are.
That's what I'm hoping to, that's what
that's
I try
huge.
To make because you don't know how, the question that really stuck out to me when I started social media was actually a worry. How, if I like somehow something comes up, like People magazine writes something about me in an article and it's like has been just the worst person to animals ever, right?
Oh my gosh.
And gets like a picture of me with the what was it ASPCA
mm-hmm.
is that what it was
mm-hmm.
like because I like when I was a kid I volunteered there one day so that the pets could get like adopted, like something like that's gonna come up. How is there ever going to be some sort of like barrier or like cushion for the audience and me, like to me, to then like respond in not a negative manner but like more realistic? And if that is negative, sure, but and I'm willing to do that, but to set myself up to be prepared for something like that.
This is fascinating.
Isn't this crazy?
I am fascinated.
Good.
This is not crazy. Good. This it's just amazing to hear your thought process going into this because it's like, I just don't think a lot of people think about it that much. I think a lot of people kind of like jump in 2 feet and
yeah.
which is, you know, both are valid.
Yeah.
So I'm like fascinated to hear you like actually having these like very like long-term ideas going into like who you want to present yourself on
yeah.
online.
So how does your audience interact with you on different platforms? Like what kind of interactions are you getting?
It can
them?
Be varied because like I, this is hard to describe and discuss. So you know how Instagram before Reels came about, it was a photo platform.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Do you remember
long,
I missed that?
Long,
does anybody remember
ago.
That?
Yeah. Yes.
Well actually photos are back. They're doing a very, very good job, just social media manager 101. They're
photos
actually
are back.
Yeah, they're back and they can do amazing. Even better than Reels right now because of the way that the algorithm changed. Just FYI.
I love yeah. that because honestly, a lot of times if I'm on Instagram, my sound's not up.
No, my sound's never up.
Exactly.
Sometimes I'm on my sound's TikTok, not up on up. TikTok.
Same.
Same,
but captions.
Same here. Now, I don't know when this podcast is released, so, you know,
that
check me
again.
On
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Look back into that. But
at the time of filming and recording. yeah, so when it was a photo app, I had posted some thirsty photos, of course, because all that I was out here to do was to get popular and look beautiful and be talented, right?
No,
you've
no,
got to
got
do
no
all
of that.
No
complaints about that.
That's what we're doing.
So I... you know, would work out a lot and try my best to vlog and, you know, show my personality. But at the same time, I needed draw. I needed attention. And so, you know, just how actors are, they just want attention. I'm also very dramatic, so I had to be dramatic in all forms. And so I would post photos like thirst traps and yada yada. And so some of my audience is very, very based on that and stuck in that way of posting in my in my early 20s. And so now when I'm making reels and I'm making content and interests, you know, the comments can be different. The audiences can be different. Twitch streaming is very specific because I do it every day. You have like an audience that always comes back. And so that's probably my, the humans that I'm closest with, because they see me on the like regular, and we're together for like anywhere from 4 to 8 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Like streaming and talking and thinking and whatever. And so you can only imagine how that could be. But then there's Instagram, and then there's like also TikTok or whatever. And depending on how you blew up or how you became popular, those comments will be how they are.
So do you still get comments that are like, go back to shirtless pics?
Oh yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Really?
Oh yeah. 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 It's all about feet, armpits.
Just, armpits is a big,
it's yeah. Yeah.
Try
no,
not to
yeah.
Post armpit.
That's it. That
I didn't.
It.
Are you guys? You guys aren't joking. You're being real about that.
I'm being
no,
so serious.
It's real.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
mine are pretty crazy. So I don't really.
We're talking about this. We're talking about this.
We're talking about armpits.
Okay.
People think they're hot.
Yeah.
Attractive.
It's gay men. It's gay men.
Yes.
Sorry.
People. It's
gay. Yes. Yes, it is.
We're saying people.
Yes.
But it's gay men looking at other men's armpits.
Exactly.
Thank you for exposing my ignorance. In the gay men armpit,
there's really not
attraction.
A lot of lesbian armpit, except for
I wouldn't know.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire when there's
oh,
she fingers
yeah.
the pit
actually,
and I didn't like that. So
oh
well, there you go.
Okay,
so well, it's not that I just didn't love
oh.
it, you know.
Oh, so there is
like,
some
yay.
Oh,
I was
okay.
like, whatever.
Right,
this is just a part of the movie.
It
wasn't yes,
like
exactly.
Hatred.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. So depending on what platform. And who they are and how they know me depends on the comments and audience's reactions. So a lot of start
totally.
Only fans, a lot of that.
Would you ever do that?
I've had ideas about it before because you should get that bag. And I love,
yeah.
we love
totally.
Sex workers. I am all about that. I am so pro live your life, and it's very hard to live in this world. So, you know, No shame. No, I'm not against it at all. But at the same time, like how I've accrued myself and who I am, I can't help but think that something like that would deter people from believing in my true intents and in my
yeah
passions or my positivity or whatever.
It's so hard as an actor.
Like,
yeah, just because it is viewed so negatively by the industry, which is so sad because I'm like, okay, but you're out here living in LA.
Yes.
Everything is so expensive.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have a hot body that you're maintaining so that you can be on camera.
Exactly.
Right. And
exactly.
And why can't I use that?
That's
for this?
What, but
because you need to save it for HBO to give you $1,000 bump.
Exactly.
I guess.
If that,
yes.
I don't even
if
know
that.
If they'll pay you that much.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
No, that's so true. So valid.
Sky.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a fan in real life?
Yeah, I have.
What was it like? What happened?
Oh, gosh. That's a question. I
Where?
Mean, it just depends because like, oh, this is such... There's a wide scope of an answer to this question. I have met fans under the assumption that these fans are paying money for a ticket to meet a group of people.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And in that regard, I've treated it like that
right.
and understood that. And I would assume and only hope that they would understand that they are paying to see someone. So I'm more in a performative like look. And also, I've met fans that the second that they meet me, they realize that the person that they've seen this whole time is who they've seen. And they're actually disappointed.
They're like, wait,
they're like, what?
Be mean to me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're like, you can't be like this in person. And now I'm not interested.
Like, that's real.
Real.
Yes, I do think that's a real phenomenon. It that we're going to have to think of a name for on the podcast.
Yeah. We're scholars, and we really need to start coining terms.
Oh, true, yes. True.
I do primary, think that's a thing.
So now...
yeah, your primary person.
We have a whole lexicon.
Please. I would love a dictionary from this podcast.
We should.
Please. I need isms, please.
Absolutely.
Like, because it's like you see or you meet someone in real life, and whatever it is, like whatever you, I think this is what it is. Whatever you were projecting onto them, you like can no longer project onto them because they were real.
Yes.
And I think that can be very tragic for fans sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's so real.
Yeah.
Jewel, you're so right.
I'm a scholar.
You are. Wow. I'm just a Skylar.
And I'm Charlie.
Do you want to?
And this is 60 Minutes.
Tick, 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 tick.
I love. Tick. No, there has never been a cuntier logo.
It's
so
true.
It like zooms
so
in.
True.
Oh my God.
Oh, show
and
me
they're
a
right.
Clock
it's
and
60
I get,
minutes, you know?
I get feral when I see clocks.
Okay. Do you have your phone on you?
Yeah.
We have some rapid invasive questions.
That but it requires.
Require Ooh. You to go into your apps.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Number one. How many unread DMs do you have?
Pick your app of your choosing, but we think Instagram works best.
Instagram unread?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, 35.
Watch
35.
I thought you were going to be like two.
And then I have three hidden requests, so I would say somewhere like 37, 38.
Wow.
Damn. High. That's pretty high. Okay, how many unread text messages?
Oh, and this is, I'm sorry, these are messages that I refuse to
click on,
yeah, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, because I do have like people that have already just messaged from stories that I just haven't gotten to yet.
Right.
You know,
like
what
I'm
mean?
Not looking, yeah.
So I have about six of those.
Yeah, I count those as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay, how many unread text messages?
Oh, gosh, yeah, get my phone out again.
Uh-huh.
One.
Only one?
One. Very amazing.
Good. Yes.
You're pretty close to inbox zero.
Yes, I am. It probably just happened while we were here recording.
That's big.
But I hope you don't ask another question.
Well,
well,
good
we already
news.
Answered this. Do you have messages in your other folder? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And what is your philosophy with them? Do you open them? Do you look at them or do you just ignore them?
Oh, definitely. I have moods. I have shifts in moods. Sometimes, I feel like sometimes it can come from two places. One, I'm waiting on a message or hoping for a message, right?
Right.
You have that. Secondly, it's like I'm in a really chaotic mood and I hate myself. So I'm ready to go read these messages.
Let's see what's in there.
Let's see what's in there.
Open
I'm tired of this.
Yep.
Rip open Pandora's box.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do you have your text message read receipts on?
They're called read receipts, right?
I think yes, probably.
You have them turned on?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't even change a setting.
That means
so yes.
That means they're on.
Wait, yeah. You're the first guest who has the read receipts on.
Really?
They're red receipts.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The red receipts are
No.
The red
Sky,
receipts are
you
on.
You mean so much to me
oh,
right
I'm
now.
Here for you.
Thank
I'm
you
here for
so
you.
Much.
Of course. Of
Thank
course.
You. I closed
Stop
my
it.
Eyes.
Stop.
I was
Stop touching hands.
Anytime.
Stop touching hands.
You're so welcome.
Jewel says read and it doesn't make
Stop
sense.
I heard it twice.
There are receipts
two times.
That mean you've
and
read
she didn't. Yeah, she didn't change the way
this
that she
said.
This
is the fight we have once every time we record. It feels so good right now.
It's called validation.
And it's awesome.
It's awesome. Try it.
Sky, do you search for yourself online? Do you Google yourself?
Oh my gosh. I think whenever a project comes out, I'll search for myself. Or if it's like tons of people have just like viewed me for some reason,
right?
Then I will be like, what actually pops up? And it's, I don't ever want to Google myself ever. I don't want to search myself.
But you have to.
I refuse. Sometimes. And please don't. Yeah. Please also, by the way, don't.
What is your blocking philosophy?
My blocking philosophy is, well, one, if you have a rude opinion of someone that you don't know, bye. But also, like, I don't even know if I would go to the lengths of blocking someone. It's more like a restrict or a mute. Like, I will mute. Mute is the way to go.
I mute a lot.
You should. You should.
Because then you still get the engagement from their hateful comments, which ups you in the algorithm. Exactly. But you don't have to see them.
Exactly. And it's like, do your thing. If you're obsessed with me because you hate me, cool.
Right.
Stay.
That is,
yeah.
That cool. is so real of you.
You know.
Just let them hate.
Let them hate.
Let them hate. Go on.
Stay in there. Why
People
not?
People love to hate.
Yeah,
people it's true. Love that.
I do.
They do.
Yeah.
I don't comment on people's videos, but I, with my hatred, but I do feel it in my heart.
Listen, if you hate something of mine, please tell me you hate it.
Don't worry. I'll give you some engagement.
Okay, cool. If please. If you, can you just I'll be like, I hated this.
Okay, final, next video.
Final rapid question.
Okay.
Do you know the demographic analytics of your viewers?
I do.
Yes. I love this. Say.
Say. Tell us
76.3% male.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
Yeah.
That's really high.
And then math, the other female.
Right.
Right.
and then I would assume, I mean, that's assuming that they are under either of those demographics.
Right. I know. I always wonder,
like,
for
how
me, if.
What?
Because it's so high in women. I'm like, but are a lot of those people who have transitioned and you don't know that because at some point they got this app. And
yes.
You know.
And why is it not shown? Why is
it's
not
so weird that
it's so
not.
Frustrating to know that there has to, you have the choice to choose they, them.
Yeah.
So why in the demographics of any of, in all these apps, in all the settings that it only says male, female. There's also
so
undetermined in YouTube, though. YouTube is like one of the only places that does like an undetermined,
but that's
or
not,
something.
That's not what we're talking about. That's just they don't know.
That's
right.
What, that's just
right.
Like
that's
what? Just, Google didn't.
It's just
doesn't know.
I just
somehow
gosh,
magically Google
so
doesn't
weird.
Know. Do you know any other demographic analytics, like where they are in the world?
I know that some of them are in London and some of them are in Australia. Shout out to my Australian followers.
Shout
love
out.
Y'all. South America, Brazil.
Ooh, fun.
So those nice. Are my fun ones, but
yeah, cool.
usually just America. Well, my top three are America, UK, and Japan. So
nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
All lovely places to visit.
Yes.
FYI for anyone who wants to sponsor a visit.
For Ooh. Us to go to Japan.
Yes.
Lovely
Please,
places
I've never been.
To visit.
I love that.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh my gosh.
Okay. Wow. Holy moly. We've made it to our fun final segment.
Oh, what is that?
We did it. We want recommendations from you. They can
don't
be anything.
Don't read my examples.
Okay. They can be anything.
That's it.
Food.
No, don't read them.
Okay. I'll think of my own examples. They can be food, fan fiction.
No!
Oh, fanfic.
YouTube channels.
Oh.
Movies. Coffee shops. So okay. far, we've already... What, do you need this open again?
No, you mostly said the things I wrote still.
There was way more I left out. Truly anything.
Okay, I do actually have some recommendations.
Yay!
Great.
And there are a different... It's an eclectic bunch.
I love it.
So as far as a book series goes... How about that?
Yes.
Okay,
amazing.
Cool. There is a series called Red Rising. It's by Pierce Brown. And he did make a lot of books, but it is a trilogy.
Awesome.
Okay. So I highly recommend that trilogy. It is like a space opera in a way. And it is beautiful and it's well written. And I started listening to the audiobook at first. And I listened to it for like 2 or 3 hours, maybe 4. And then I finally got the book because I couldn't wait that long to just be in the car. And so I got to the book and I turned to the page that I ended on. And it was like page 62. And I was like, I've got
wait,
a lot more reading
what
to
the
do.
Hell?
I've got a lot more reading to do. And it's like, it's heavy with like the names and stuff, but not as heavy as like a Game of Thrones or something. But it's so interesting and easy to understand. And I say that coming from a person who mainly only reads manga, because I don't really read a lot of books. I love my art. I love my mangakas. I love that kind of stuff. And so that's the type of books that I recommend.
Red Rising.
Yes, Red Rising. I also have a couple other recommendations.
Please,
are you prepared?
Yes.
As far as a music choice, I do want to recommend Julia Cooper. She is wonderful, and I wanted to recommend you specifically, Julia Cooper. I think that you need to listen to Julia Cooper.
I will.
Made in Heaven and EXO are a good starting place.
Thank you.
Yep. I also believe that if you are of the Magic the Gathering variety, you should always run Monotithe in your mono white decks. I think if you're watching an anime, you should watch Shangri-La Frontier or Windbreaker. And then finally, as a video game, currently I'm obsessed with Elden Ring. The DLC came out, so obviously I am obsessed.
The people are obsessed. Yeah.
But if I had to recommend something different, maybe try A Plague Tale, which is it's Ooh. A cute like narrative journey, but like it's dark and there's a lot of rats. And I am also a filthy rat. So
good.
Yeah. Oh, so there, you feel like my... represented.
Yeah. That's finally. Nice. Yeah.
Finally. Wow, that's a really good list.
Aren't we all filthy rats?
Yes. Are you? Yes, without a doubt. I got these jeans that have rats on them. Yeah. I call them my rat pant.
For sure.
They're my favorite jeans.
I got to know more outfit details, but I'll ask.
I love outfits. I love fashion.
Sky, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. And please tell the people of the pod listenership where they can find you.
Hi, everybody. You can find me at Yo Skylar Seymour on all social media platforms.
Spell it.
YOSKYLERSEYMOUR. Is there anything else that you need?
Actually, Charlie and I have already left the room.
Oh.
We're in a whole different house.
I've been blindfolded this entire time. And I've just been...
We should do that.
Are we literally blind?
Jules saying no. Jules' face is saying no.
I can't see anything, so I wouldn't know.
I prefer to be... This is not even sexual. Like, I just like being blindfolded.
Do I have to answer any more questions?
No.
No.
Thank you guys for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for coming on the pod.
It was my absolute pleasure.
We'll see you later.
I hope so. Bye. Can I take the blindfold off now?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, so that's what you look like.
Yeah. Big surprise. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. Enjoy this episode? Leave us a nice review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's a nice and kind thing to do. This podcast is produced by your hosts and Garrett Labonte. Theme music done by Brady Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, corkboards, the filing cabinets for your walls.